So good to see you in the Lord's house today as we come together for the call to worship. I want to draw your attention to the book of John in chapter 20. And we find here the Lord speaking to Thomas. And these words are so powerful, and I hope that we can communicate to you the message of them. And found in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas was one said, unless I put my hands in his wounds, I'm not going to believe. Seeing is believing, that concept. And yet Jesus obliterates that. Said, you believe because you saw me. Blessed are those that what? Believe, not see. We live in a day and age of sight. Everything has to, you have to convince me. You have to convince me. I have to be able to see it. The Lord works in a completely different way. He convinces you through the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. And you believe. Even though we cannot see Jesus, we cannot look with Him in our eyes and gaze at Him, we can know that His truth is real. And God says, blessed are they. There's a special blessing upon those who believe, having not seen. I'm so thankful that we can see this morning. I'm thankful for Brother Luis. Boy, what a blessing he was during Sunday school. And I'm thankful that we have eyesight. But there's something deeper and more important, and that's faith in the Lord. Trusting in Him, even though you can't see Him. Your relationship with Him is more real if you're a child of God than it is with people that you see. A lot of people don't believe that, but it's true. You can have a relationship with the Lord that's deeper and greater and not see Him, and have one that's greater and deeper than people that you see. Because faith is the key. And I pray today as we've gathered together in God's house that our hearts and minds might be knit with the Lord. That as we open His precious Word and as Brother Nunez preaches God's Word to our hearts, that we will focus our hearts and minds on the One who we cannot see, but the One who is nonetheless more real. He is the Creator of all things. And may we have a relationship with Him today.
Amen. Take your hymn books this morning as we begin our singing. Number 563. Number 563. Go ye into all the world. Number 563. Let's stand together to sing.
All the world and preach.
Brother Gambold comes to lead us.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this first day of the week when we as Christians and your people can gather and worship you. We're thankful, Father, for the voluntary sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, through whose sacrifice, the sacrifice that he went to the cross willingly and made, gives us life despite the nature of our sin, Father. It gives us everlasting life because of that one act. We thank you for that, Father, the greatest act that could have ever been done. We thank you, Father, also for our nation. We thank you for this country. We thank you that we have the ability to come here freely today without worry from threat without. And, Father, we do ask that you would give us the wisdom to maintain this nation. Father, we thank you for the safe arrival of the Nunez family. We thank you for their desire to serve you. We thank you for their desire to go to nations that are difficult and to serve thee in those lands. And we just pray, Father, for their safety as they travel this country and as they return to the Cape Verde Islands. We pray for our students here, Father, in this school as they start their last month of school here, Father. We pray that you watch over them, allow them safety as they travel back and forth, as they go out onto the fields for recess, as they go out to play and do PT, and give them a desire to continue to do well in this as they finish up this year, Father. Just be with them. And we also pray for next year. We pray that you would send the teachers that are needed here, the students. Just place in the minds of the fathers and the mothers of this nation, Father, the need for a good Christian education. We pray for those of our number who are traveling. We pray also for the sick of our number, Father. Be with them. Restore them to us in your good time. Father, now we ask your blessing on this service, and we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated and turn now to number 539. 539, Rescue the Perishing. 539.
Thank you. his eyes, that his pardon soul is worthy of a place in paradise. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. We mold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty.
Out of number 494 before our brother comes. Number 494, "Here am I, Lord, send me." We want to sing verses 1 and 3. Verses 1 and 3, number 494.
I'm
It's our privilege today to have with us Brother Luis Nunez. As you've already seen, he's a very laid-back, quiet, reserved individual. And we're so glad to have him with us. The Lord has burdened his heart to carry the gospel to the Cape Verde Islands. The only thing that we ever hear Cape Verde is that's where hurricanes come from.
That's right.
Come off the coast of West Africa there, Cape Verde Islands. So we have to blame you for all the hurricanes that have come through Florida.
I'll tell who should be blamed.
Okay. All right, good. Come and share with us what God's laid on
you. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, what do you say for me? Bon? Yes. Say it. Bon dia. Yes, bon dia. Still bon dia. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Pastor spoke about the one that we have not seen, yet we believe. So, little he knew, my text is, sir, we would see Jesus. So, get there in John chapter 12, and let me tell you who should be blamed for the hurricane. My wife Anna is here. My son Arthur Silas is here. My daughter Anna Laura is here. And my son Jonathan is here. My oldest son Joseph is there in Cape Verde. We have a saying. Write down the saying. Pray for us to have rain. American does not get what? A hurricane. People dropped the ball last year. They did not pray for us to get rain. The storm I made there, if the rain doesn't fall there, they get very upset and come after you. So, guess what? The bucket stops right here. You want to stop the hurricane? Earnestly pray that we get rain. Is the truth of the matter. First year we got there in 2013, rain all the year long, 12 months we had rain for the very first time ever, you know. January, there was rain. February, there was rain. One day in March, I was preaching and I told them, said, hey, you know what? God can make to rain. Rain is up to God. He can make to rain right now. And then a little boy did like this. And I looked to him, his name is Gil, and he said, Pastor, it's raining right now. It was coming down. I was there, I saw it. In November, doesn't rain in Cape Verde. No. No rain in Cape Verde in November. It rained so bad on that year that put down a bridge. I believe people were praying for us to get rain, Pastor. And then that was 2013, you know, missionaries not here any longer. We forgot about him. So let them have it. Yes, but you pay the price. Amen. So how many of you are willing to get over with this hurricane situation? May I see your hand? Did you get the recipe? I pray a day, keep the hurricane away. So you pray for us to get rain. You don't get hurricane. Are you there in John chapter 12? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be at your house. Thank you so much for your grace. And thanks so much for your Bible. May you help us, Lord, as we see your face. May you glorify your name. May we touch the Shekinah glory of God. I do need your power, not only to proclaim the message here, as the message goes around the globe, that you help each one that will hear anywhere that they are. And find them, Lord, and rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. We promise to give all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. In the next few moments, God be my helper. I want to preach to you, it is not in a religion, but in a relationship. It is not in a religion, but it is in a relationship. I'm not Marxist. I never met the guy. I don't care for him. I never read about him. However, he said once, religion is the drug opium of mankind. And I kind of understand that. Men are knocked down by religion. They take religion, they suck it in religion, and they think they are all right. It is not in a religion. It is in a relationship. If you are there with me in John chapter 12, verse 20, The Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to what? Worship. Where those Greeks went up to worship? At the feast. What feast is that? It's the Passover feast. The Greeks were where? In Greece, I presume. I mean, I did not go to Harvard, so some things I don't know, amen? But I presume the Greeks were from Greece. And they came up to Jerusalem. That's the reason, say up, okay? And then, once they got to Jerusalem, they were there to worship. If there's a feast, it was a religious feast. But would you continue reading with me, please? The same. Who are the same? The Greeks. The same came therefore to Philip. Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, so he was not from Greece. I dare to say he never went to Greece. But they came to Philip, a Galilean boy, if you will, and desire him, saying, Mr. Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. In today's age, perhaps they would say, we would see Facebook. But they didn't. They said, we would see Jesus. This is such a tremendous statement because they came up to worship. And worship is nothing else, nothing more than diminish the distance between you and God. They were close enough. They were near enough. But that was not enough without Jesus. And in the next few moments, I will show you in the Word of God that it is not indeed in a religion, but it all in a relationship. How can I say that? Well, consider with me, first of all, the unconditional desire. Did you notice on verse 21, the Bible tells us that what? And desire him. You see the desire? You see the desire? They desire him. They said, sir, we would. There is a request from our end. Yes, we came. And it is a nice party. It's a nice feast. There's enough to eat and all of this and all of that. But we still have a desire. We are quenching for something. We have a desire. So it is unconditional desire. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 verse 11 that God is no respect of persons. There's no respect of persons with God. Whosoever will, let him, let her come. So the desire is very important. Would you consider with me what whosoever will can provide, what someone that desire can achieve? The Bible tells us that abides in God and by him, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, we could abide in him if we desire. We could have a relationship with him, but comes to the desire. Maybe you came this morning because mom and daddy desire for you to come, amen? I don't want to go to church. But mom and daddy desire. So they brought you near to the fountain of living water. But they cannot twist your arm to drink. Hello? I spoke with a lady now in Pensacola this morning. And she's the eighth generation Pensacola. Her family came with Cortez to Pensacola, amen? There's a plaza there, a square there, named after her. Who knows? Great, 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 great grandfather. Would you believe that? That's nice. Maybe some of your relatives came on the Mayflower, amen? That's even nicer. But may I be honest with you? It doesn't matter if you are first generation of Floridians or you just moved down from New York because you got your heart right. The truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is this. God does not have second generations of relationship. He only has sons and daughters. He does not have a single grandkid. They tell me grandkids are so good that we should have them first. I have not tried yet. God doesn't have grandkids. So if you are here this morning, I'm glad that mom and daddy got you. But you need to desire if you are going to take full advantage of a personal relationship with God. You could abide in God. For that, you need to believe in Him. Do you realize that who believe in Him will never die? Does anybody want to die? Just hold your breath very deep. No, don't do it. But if you want to live, you must believe. Not only that, but do you realize that if you desire, you can abide with God, you can believe in God, you can come and never thirst again. My wife has been to Florida before. You see the bottle of water in her hand? She said, oh, the water in Florida tastes different. Go to Texas and then you'll see how a water tastes like, amen? Does it taste different? Yes, it tastes different. But I drank from this water here, I did not see the difference. When you are thirst, there's no difference in water. Come and thirst, and you'll be satisfied because of your desire. Did you notice not only abides in God, believe in Him, come and never thirst, but the Bible tells us that those that desire, the debt of sin will be paid. It will be paid in full. Paid once and for all. Man, what a single verb can do for a person to desire. Don't you want to abide with God? Don't you want to believe in Him? Don't you want to come and never thirst again? Don't you want your debt to be paid in full? Well, not only that, but those that desire can have eternal life in Him. That's what He gives. I could go F, J, H, and all of that. But just to point out to you that to receive all of the above plus more, you must have what? A desire. Sir, we would. Why they would? Well, because they desired. They were there, and perhaps they have seen Peter, perhaps they have seen John, perhaps they have seen the, name it. But still they have that tug inside of them. It might be what you are in need of today. You have been to church, you have been to Sunday school, you have graduated from, name it, all the aspect of a church life, and you still have in your heart of hearts a need. It's because only having that desire to the right thing that will complete your life in Him. Well, I need to go. Time flies when you're having fun. Would you consider with me not only the unconditional desire, but the Bible tells us the immeasurable action. Notice with me on verse 21, after they say, sir, we would what? Three letters. If I would say, you may think of the ocean, because I say sea, but it's not the ocean. Is the vision. Sir, we would what? See. And I told Pastor when he sat down, I said, wow, that was a great introduction to my message. If you go to Jerusalem, if you go to the empty tomb, there's a saying there on the outside, he's not here. But you know what I add to that saying? Blessed are those that have not seen and yet, what? Believed. But see is very important. I had a grandmother on Anna's side of the family, her daddy's mother, that could not see. She never saw the mistake Anna did, amen? She was blind. And then we had another grandmother at the time, Anna's mom, mother, that would narrate to the blind grandmother about us and about how I look like and about Anna's outfit for the wedding and about the kids as they were coming about. See is a very important action, if you think of. Don't take for granted that you can have vision. I remember when I first came to your country, there is a newspaper called USA Today. And I remember at that time, opened the pages of the classified, and they were looking for someone that could sell a kidney. And there was some that was selling kidneys over there. Do you all remember those days? I mean, I was in college student. I sell plasma. I sell everything that was there to sell, amen, to get extra money. I never saw the, is that the word, kidney? Kidney. I saw advertisement for that on USA Today. I never saw anybody selling a cornea. I never saw that advertisement. Because we dare not purposely lose our vision. That is unmeasurable. You cannot measure that. You cannot put a price on your vision. As a matter of fact, my mother was almost 80 years old and she had eye surgery because she did not want to lose her vision. It is unmeasurable. Close your eyes. What do you see? Oh, don't do it. Let me tell you, you don't see anything. It's very important to have a vision. And in the Word of God, it's even more important. Would you look with me in Isaiah chapter 6, please? Isaiah chapter 6. Let me tell you what vision can do for someone. Isaiah chapter 6. The Bible tells us a very important ability that vision can bring to us. The Bible tells us, Isaiah chapter 6, on the Cambridge Bible, it's page 878. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I what? I saw also the Lord sitting up in a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What a blessing! Isaiah saw the Lord. And you go in John chapter 12, you see who is the Lord there. It's Jesus. Isaiah spoke of these things when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Simple as that. When the false witness come to you, just take them to Isaiah 6 and John 12. You get done the problem, okay? But here it is. Isaiah saw the Lord. Do you realize what happened next? When we see him, it alerts us. Look with me on verse 5. Then said whom? I? What did I say? Woe of him. He did not say that, huh? Woe of her. He did not say that. He said, woe of me. When you see the Lord, it will alert you. You will realize what shape and fashion and manner that you are. Quit looking around. Quit looking on others. Quit looking, please, by all means, quit talking, amen, about somebody else. You look unto him and you see you and what shape you are. Alert us. The Bible says that I saw the Lord and then it brings conviction. What am I talking about? You are alert and you are now under conviction, because that's what happened. How do I know it brings conviction? Well, keep reading. Isaiah said, for I am what? Undone. Who told him he was undone? Until he was looking to Amos, perhaps, until he was looking to other folks, he was pretty good, amen? I mean, this is Mr. Isaiah, the prophet. Hello? But now he see God. He said, hey, wait a minute. Too much hearing stake. Woe of me, for I am undone. And the Bible says, a man of unclean lips. Perhaps Uzziah was the king of leprosy. Perhaps Isaiah was a doctor. He talks about our righteousness being like filth rags. Perhaps he lived there with the leprosy folks. Perhaps he had been contagious by leprosy. And then he had unclean lips. And remember there in Numbers, when somebody has leprosy, they have to put something on their hand and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Perhaps that was the situation of Isaiah. Literally, he had unclean lips, not because he was a sailor and cursed all the time, amen, but because of leprosy. The truth of the matter is this, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, wow, that brought conviction to my heart. Once you quit looking around horizontal and you give a good, steady look vertical, it will bring conviction to you. I saw the King. I have seen the King. Well, guess what? Alert him, bought conviction, change his life. Did you notice the change? He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. And what? Thine iniquity is taken away. And hallelujah, bless the Lord of my soul. Roll away all the burden of my heart, all the sin. Thy sin is purged. It changed his life. I remember when the Lord changed my life. I remember the day I was pastoring two churches, 220 kilometers apart. On Monday at home, Tuesday as well. Wednesday, I went to the other city. Thursday at home. Friday, day off. Saturday, I went to the other city. Sunday morning, the other city. Sunday afternoon at home. Sunday evening at home. And Monday, let's do again. I had religion. Very pious. I was not fussed with anybody's husband, not anybody's wife, anybody's children. I was not embezzling money. Even the debts that I had on that moment, it has been taken care of. But when I saw the Lord, it alerted me. It brought me conviction. It changed my life. The only thing I could remember from the whole Word of God was, I count all things but lost to gain Christ. And Philippians 3 continue on to say, and be found in Him. What a place. So I told the Lord, I refuse my ordination, I refuse my formation, I refuse my position. Have mercy on me and save my soul. Guess what? I never was embarrassed by that. I embarrassed the devil. He had hold on me, you know. He hold me.
You're all right. You made a profession of faith when you were 7. You're just a professional, amen. Don't you worry, none.
But he cannot have that hold any longer. I'm free. I never was embarrassed by that. I go everywhere in the globe. And they ask what are going to do in Israel. I tell them what I'm going to do in Israel, amen. Why you came to Russia? I tell them why I came to Russia, amen. And I keep telling. I came to the immigration here. They ask me, what do you do when you are not doing missionary work? Well, I just do missionary work. You know, it's not in a religion, it is in a relationship. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and I. What is the verse you called to early? Acts 16:31. And thy house. I witness to them. I witness to prime minister, to president or his wife. you bring over. Let's talk about Jesus. That's what I do. Talk about Jesus. You know why? I am changed. The truth of the matter is this, folks. If Jesus is inside, he's going to come out. You cannot hide something that big. Come on. Don't think, well, what pastor would say if he'll say, praise the Lord. You are not going to hell out of the pews of this church. First time I shared that was in St. Mary's, Georgia. Have you been to St. Mary's, Georgia? A preacher boy got saved on that Sunday morning. He was an official in the Navy. And then on Wednesday night, I go to a church, West Jacksonville Baptist Church, there in Jacksonville. And the assistant pastor's mother, she got saved, amen? That's a blessing. That's a huge blessing. She said, when I told about my story, I was 7, I made a profession of faith because I saw on the week before some children that moved to my city. They got saved, they got baptized, and I said, I was right there where you are, and I look, I said, I'm being left behind. And this is 1973, Pastor. The book was not written. I never read that book. If you did, that's fine with me. But I said exactly like that. I'm being left behind. So next Sunday, guess what, sis? As soon as the service was done, I went forward. They took me there to a back room. They told me to recite a prayer. Guess what? I recited the prayer, and then I got ready to be baptized. I slept on the pew. Lost the baptism. Shame on me, but I did. Well, a couple months went by. Donna Anna, a 72-year-old lady, she came to my house and made a questionnaire. And everything she asked, I gave good answers. And then she turned to my mother and she said, I believe he can be baptized. This is Donna Anna. Donna Anna, she had the voice, I tell you. When she spoke, everybody heard, amen. I believe he can be baptized. So here I went to be baptized. Become a member of the church. Never of the family of God. So God dealt with me. I don't want to lose my baptism. God dealt with me at the Bible Institute. I was a whatever is the word with V, on the end of the school year. I was that guy. I thought, I need to consecrate my life, amen? I need to be more strong in the Lord. And I can't believe this, but I do believe because I live that life. And because I want so much to be, you know, near to the Lord, it avoided me a lot of things. Even though I still mess it up quite a bit too. I wasn't done. Lost, as could be. Well, I got a scholarship to Bob Jones University. Have you ever heard of that school? They pay even the books. They pay insurance. They pay the airline ticket to come and the airline ticket to go. And then you'll not believe this. I know you would not. I finished undergrad in 3.5 years without summer school. I know. Yeah. And let me tell you a secret. I even did not pass on the TOEFL test. I did 404 points on the TOEFL test. You need at least 450. So my first semester was on the SAS. And I have to have 2.75 GPA to transfer to the university. I had 2.78, amen. That was my lowest GPA in school. That's insane. And still, I just got 11 credits on the first semester, and I start on my road to 20 credits every semester. Amen. I even did some correspondence class before they even had that division. I was the one doing Bible history without they have the Bible history program so I could critique for them. I finished in 3.5 years. Now what? Well, I still one other semester of scholarship, so I got into grad school. Got 15 hours and was too much. New Testament survey. Man, alive, I could not get it. I dropped it. I did 12. And then they let me be a GA for 1 year. I apply on Monday, got the GA on Wednesday, and school start on Thursday. Go figure. And for 1 year, I did 9 hours plus 9 hours, made my 30 hours on mastering education there in counseling. So I was done. Went to work for BBN Radio Ministry in Brazil. Lost that job, but I got Anna. From 97 to 2000, I worked with BBN. Start the Portuguese division. Then I went to Brazil. I start Rock of Ages Prison Ministry in Brazil. Rick, the man that is a missionary by you all, I interpret for him. I help him. Lost! So my pastor told me, you need to be in church planting, church building ministry. So I left Rock of Ages. Went to church planting, church building ministry. Lost. One day I was preaching. Conviction came to my heart. And I thought I was having a heart attack. And then I told the church, you pray for me. And we dismissed there. I went home and I said, Lord, I don't want to jeopardize the ministry. We are building a church for 500 people. My son is 3 years old and he's making questions. My father-in-law was lost. He let me date Anna because I was a Baptist preacher, amen? If I were a Catholic, I could not date Anna. I was 14 years plus older than her. You did not hear that. Let's skip. Okay, so here's the thing. I am not going to hurt the ministry. If I have to go to hell, I don't want to hurt the ministry. That's the thinking of a lost man. But I told the Lord, don't leave me alone. So I came to America to raise support. Visit some churches. And on Saturday afternoon, October the 2nd, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a day. And then I realized I was lost and undone because of a hurricane that came on the last weekend of September. A church service was canceled in St. Mary's, Georgia. You heard that name before. So the lady went home, Jennifer Sist, and she typed every single word of that Sunday morning message and sent to all of her contacts, yours included. 14-page long message that I read on Saturday, and God used so I could be born again. Right there on the end of that message, the pastor said, Lord, maybe there's someone here today that have made some profession of faith, think they have earned some points with thee, but on their hearts of heart, they know they are lost, unsaved, and they need to repent of their sins and to trust the blood of Jesus alone for the saving of their soul. Make them to realize that even today. I said, this is Louis. I made a profession. But salvation is not in a profession, it is in a person. So that day, all I could remember of 30 trips through the Bible in Spanish, Portuguese, and English was I count all things but lost. And I did. And he saved me. I'm so glad he found me. I'm so glad he saved me. Changed my life. I told Anna, I'm being converted, I'm being saved, I'm being born again now. She said, what? If you are not saved, who is saved? Who is saved? She said that, start crying. I mean, she saw the passion, the zeal, the dedication. She saw. I told her when we first got married, I said, this is the way you check a computer. There's something called cookies. Ladies, listen to this. This is good. Say cookies. You can see everywhere I have been on the internet. Just look on cookies. Taught her accountability. I did not want to do what is wrong. I want to do what is right. That's what the religion told me. Amen. It's a miracle of God that I did not mess it up more than I did. And then on Sunday, I go to church. I cancel all my meetings on that Sunday, amen? Now I'm saved. I better go to church. I'm not going anywhere. I was preaching in a church in the morning and another one in the evening, Bible school, Bible college during the week. I call all of them and say, hey, let's stop that. We went home. Afterwards, come back to church in the afternoon. And Anna turned to me and said,
3 times I pray, God, change him. God, change him. I did not know was that. You really are different. At that day, at that time, I was on the speed limit, amen? Not today. Today was a little bit different. But I was crazy when I drove. Man, you don't pastor 2 churches 220 kilometers apart without making one to the other in 1 hour and 45 minutes in a single lane road in Brazil. Otherwise, you'll be late. I hate to be late. What that has to do with you? If you have seen the Lord, it will alert your condition this morning. It will bring you conviction. It will change your life. You know why? There's one part in the message that's crucial, is the most important one. Are you there in John chapter 12, verse 21? Did I read the whole verse? No, I didn't. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, we would. What is we would? We would is the unconditional desire. And then they said, we would see. What is see? Is a measurable action. See what? Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Jesus. It is indeed the unmatched satisfaction. Alone, beyond compare, exceptional, greatest, incomparable, matchless, only, single, singular, solid gold, unequaled, unique, unprecedented, unrivaled, unsurpassed, winner without equal. That is what is unparalleled, unmatched. And that is even more can be said of Jesus. You know why? ABC. Jesus gives abundant life. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more, what? Abundantly. They gave me water. The water is right here. No, that's not mine. Mine was here. They gave me, oh, it's mine too? Man, I have plenty of water. There's 3 cups here. This is not more abundantly. More abundantly, and I will not do it, amen, is when you put both of these recipients on this one. What is going to happen? Overflow. That's the way that I am in Jesus. It overflows. His joy unspeakable and full of glory. He satisfies. His abundant life. It is blessing as well. Who hath blessed with all spiritual blessings in whom? In Christ. Not only abundant life, not only blessing life, but coming again. In other words, I will come again and receive you with myself, that where I am, there ye may be what? Also. So I'm not the lonely ranger. He's coming again. And he's coming again for me. I guess you can say I'm special. So do you, if you are his and he is yours. In other words, not only that, but you know what, folks? That, and this is fascinating, brings reward. Have you ever thought of that? That death will bring you reward? Paul said, for me, to live is Christ. And to die is what? He's satisfied, does he not? It's like that lady. She was given 2 months to live, and she's going to die. And she called pastor and told pastor, we need to prepare for my funeral service. And the pastor said, well, not today. She said, well, I don't have much time. Let's do it. Told her what she wants to be saying and things to be done. And then she made a final request. Sure enough, 2 months passed by, and she was there on the front of the church, laid in a casket. And everybody passed through, sat down for the memorial service. And then after everything was said and done, pastor came to the front and said, what with the fork? She had a fork on her hand. And she told how 2 months prior to that date, she has invited him to her home and told him about her disease that ultimately took her home. And she said, pastor, I grew up in church. I met the Lord at young age. And I love when we had the food ship in church. Amen. How after we ate, people would say, honey, keep your fork. We are going to have dessert. I remember going to my grandma's house and how my grandma would cook the great meal, but always would tell me, sweetie, now keep your fork and bring your dessert. Pastor, the dessert was always my favorite part of the meal. I have had enough on this side of eternity. Would you let me be bare with my fork as a witness of the best is yet to come? I'm ready to get my dessert. I'm ready to get my reward. So, folks, that's the reason Jesus satisfies. If you have Him, you are ready to get your dessert. Just keep your fork. Do you have that desire this morning? Can you take some action this morning and make some business with the Lord? Would you taste and see that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man, the woman, anyone that trusts in Him. Would you bow down your heads? It's not a ceremonial. It's not anything peculiar. But think about your life. Think about your life, Andrew. Think about your life, Paul. Think about your life, Brad. Hey, Sita, think about your life. Brianna, think about your life. I don't know your name. I don't know anything about you. But how many among you could say this morning, preacher, I am in Jesus and Jesus alone. I repent of my sins and I trust Him for the sake of my soul. And I could give a witness of that this morning. Can I see your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pay close attention now. I promise you I will. Is there anybody that could say, when you spoke about my life. There's a spiritual need that I have this morning, and I want to make it right. Would you pray for me? I promise I'll pray for you. I'll not be able to say your name. But I'll pray that God will meet that spiritual need that you have. May I see your hand up? I saw. God bless you. I'm praying for one. I can pray for two. I see you make signs with your hand, but do you want me to pray for you? I'm praying for one. I can pray for two. May I see your hand? Please pray for me. Anybody? Girl, boy, young man, young woman, a senior man, a senior woman. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your status before Grace Bible Church. What matters if is your name is written not in the rolls of the church, but if your name is written down in glory. Please don't die and go to hell out of the pews of Grace Bible Church. Please, please, please. Anybody else? I'll pray for you. It's the last time that I'll ask. I'm praying for one. I can pray for two. Others will not think nothing. We will rejoice with you. I will dare not to embarrass you. And we will never do it. But let's put a stop on devil's deceiving mask. Is that what you want today? I want to pray for you. Are you raising your hand? I'll pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm praying for two. I can pray for three. Lord, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all of our sins. You saw that hand that was up. You saw even before that hand went up. So help that person to trust you alone today. You saw the other hand that went up. you help that person to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And for those two persons that I'm praying this morning, I pray that right now, Lord, where they are, they can say in their hearts of hearts of individual lives, saying right now, God, have mercy on me. That they may say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I'm trusting you and you alone. That right now they might say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died to pay for my sin. And I believe Jesus rose again. And right now they might say, Lord, I want to be born again. And to believe and to trust and to accept your free gift of salvation. Help them right now to say, God, thank you for Jesus dying for me and to come to my heart and to save my soul. May they do that right now, Lord. That will bring honor and glory to your name. I'm praying for them, Lord. And I know that you can do much more than I ask, than I pray. In Jesus' name I pray, as we still praying, there was two persons that you asked me to pray for you. Only those two persons that I pray for. Would you look to me right now, please? Could you look at me right now? I told I was going to pray for you, and I did just that. I would not do anything to embarrass you. Did you pray asking Jesus to come to your heart? Glad that you did. Did you? I'm so glad that you did. And I'm turning to the pastor, and I know he'll rejoice with you as angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Pastor, would you come, please, and conclude this service?
Would you take your hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 298. Number 298, I invite you to stand. I want you to look, please, at verse 3, which we're going to sing. Jesus is waiting, oh come to Him now, waiting today. Come with your sins at His feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll do it at some other convenient time. Take care of the matter today so that you can know that you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Let's sing on that third stanza, 298.
Is waiting, oh come to Him now, waiting today, come with your sins and His feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay, calling today, calling today.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of Brother Nunez, of a man who had religion, but he didn't have thee. And it took many years of your Holy Spirit working in his heart and life to draw him unto yourself. Maybe there's some here today that may be in a similar situation. They think they're religious, but that's not what you're looking for. You want to have a relationship, and that means that we have to repent of our sin and believe on Thee. We pray, Father, that You'd work in hearts today. For those that indicated their need, we pray that they might get this forever settled, that they would not let another hour go by until they get this matter taken care of trusting in Thee alone. May they see only Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we thank you for the Nunez's. We pray for them, Lord, that you would raise the support for them that's needed to return. And we ask you, Father, that you would anoint them with your power to communicate your word in the days ahead. But we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.